that angels are in a conditional stance. You know, like Paul was worried that he himself might become a castaway, and that we are in some sense conditional. Our usefulness to the Lord is conditional. It's dependent upon our faithfulness and our obedience. But with angels, that's not an issue. The angels have been confirmed in their service. And so Gabriel says, I am the one standing before the face of God. And the perfect tense that he uses, I mean, that's what he does. And it's what he's going to continue to do. It's not a conditional. God won't get bored of him. He isn't going to sin and get kicked out. He is Gabriel. This is his job. So when Zacharias says, what proof do you have? It's like Gabriel says, are you kidding me? Are you sure you want to go there? I am Gabriel, the one standing before the face of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to announce to you these things. Hello, I'm here. Have you seen angels before? No. All right, and yet here I am. Okay, so I'm here to tell you this. You want proof? Fine. Verse 20. And behold, you will be continuing to be silent, and you will not be being able to speak. So he uses present tense as he says, fine, you want proof? Here, you're going to be silent and you're not going to be able to speak. And I'm sure that Zacharias wished at that moment he could rewind the tape and said, okay, let's not go that route. The answer, how are you going to know this? You're going to be silent. And you're not going to be able to be speaking until which day these things happen. Because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time. Notice the cause and effect. You didn't believe. Therefore, this is your proof, and it's going to continue until my words are fulfilled. And guess what? They will be fulfilled. I'm Gabriel. I stand before the face of God. You can count on this. It's going to happen. Okay, so it's a bad thing. It's a bad thing not to believe in God's word. Let's look at the next verse. And all the people... Okay, remember, God waited until this is a public event. Okay, and the people, verse 21, were watching expectantly. Okay, this is like the communion service that went way bad. Okay, so everybody's got their heads bowed and they're praying and they're meditating. And then it just keeps going and going and going. And what they don't know is that there were so many people, they ran out of cups and they ran out of bread. And so the poor usher is in the kitchen scrounging around trying to find cups and juice. And all the people are out there praying and praying and praying and praying and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. How long is he going to be in there? You know, all right already. This is a ceremony. Don't you know the roast is going to burn and we need to get on with all the other stuff? And so they're wondering, they're waiting, they're watching expectantly. So after they give up trying to pray anymore, they start looking. And one of the old deers bumps her husband and says, where is the old goat? I don't know. What's going on? And so then they start talking back and forth. What? Did he fall asleep? Bring the doorbell. Let's get him up. So they're waiting and waiting and waiting. And they were wondering. And it's cool. You know, they wonder. They talk a little bit and they go back to praying. All right, what's going on? So this keeps building. They're wondering at the delay, at his delay in the temple. Verse 22. And having gone out, he was not able to speak to them. So he finally comes out of the temple and everybody says, oh, good. Great. And you know, he looked all the world like the sign language speaker at the at the funeral in South Africa. And so there's Zacharias. He finally comes out and he doesn't know sign language, just like the guy at the funeral didn't know sign language. And so they're all okay. You know, go down 5 yards, cut right, stop, button hook, hit you with... No, what in the world's going on here? So he went out to speak to them, and finally, you know, somehow with hand motions, he communicated to them that he couldn't speak. They figured that out, and that he had seen a vision. Maybe he pantomimed the angel. I don't know what he did. But they finally figured out. I mean, this is one of those services where everybody talks about after it's over. And they knew that a vision, that he'd seen a vision in the temple, and he was signaling to them. He's literally doing the signals, and he remained dumb. I mean, that was it. He couldn't say a word, and he could signal. And it came to pass, when the days were fulfilled of his service, that he went away to his house. Down to verse 23. So, all of this, and he couldn't talk to them. He signaled to them, saw a vision, and then he went home to his house, and he still stayed dumb. So, my point here simply is that, you know, it's a bad thing not to believe the Word of God. Let's look at verses 24 through 31. After these days, Elizabeth, his wife, conceived, and she was hiding herself for 5 months, saying, "Thus the Lord has done to me in the days in which he looked upon me to take away my reproach from among the people." I mean, this lady is a very public lady. She's the wife of the priest, and now she's the wife of the idiot priest. So, you know, here you have Elizabeth. Do you think anybody told her what happened when he... Oh, man, this is... You can't make this stuff up. You really can't. So everybody's telling everybody. This is national news. Zacharias has seen an angel, and his wife, Elizabeth, who's barren and ancient, is going to have a baby. So when Elizabeth gets this news, what does she do? Very interesting. She withdraws from the public, and she enjoys what God has decided to do. Isn't that cool? That God is doing something for her that she's been praying about and probably gave up praying for many years. And now here it is, and she's going to savor every minute and just... God's taken away my reproach among the people. And so in this first part, all I want to do is establish that it was a bad thing not to believe God's word, because my argument here is that we ought to keep the faith. Second point in verses 26 to 31 is that Mary was a believer. Interesting how this develops. Zacharias, he did not believe the word of God. But Mary, however, was a believer. Let's look at verse 26. Now, in the sixth month, that is, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to, we see these Amazon drones. Did you see the advertisement that they want to deliver your packages by a drone now? All right, this is like a drone. You see this from God's perspective coming down from heaven. So the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city of to a city of Galilee, the name of which was Nazareth. So you got Galilee, you got Nazareth, to a virgin, this one having been betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, out of the house of David, and the name of the virgin was Mary. So the angels got his orders. Galilee, check. Nazareth, check. Fiance of Joseph, check. Mary, got it. Off he goes. And having entered, the angel said to her, this is a cool word, grace. You know, it's really hard to translate, because by this time it had become a frozen greeting, like we would say, hello. What does hello mean? I don't know. But it's a word we're teaching Ange. How do I know that? Because she's taking this program where she has to push the button. Hello, let's learn English. Hello, let's learn English. What does hello mean? Well, it doesn't matter, because it's a greeting. But in this context, the greeting is actually grace. And it's a formalized wish of joy. It's a greeting. But if you're just to translate it literally, it's an imperative grace. the one having been highly favored, it's participle, but perfect tense. You have been favored going forward from you've been favored, highly favored. The Lord is with you. That is, you, this one who has been blessed. From among women, God has favored you and blessed you and will continue to do so. So Mary, as you can imagine, verse 29, she was troubled. She was troubled at the saying, at his word. So having seen the angel, having heard his message, she was troubled at his word and was muddling. She was considering of what sort of greeting could this possibly be. So the angel comes and says, "You've been highly favored and chosen from among women, grace." And she says, "Whoa, what in the world is this greeting all about?" So she's troubled. What's happening here? Verse 30. And the angel said to her, stop being afraid. Apparently, her trouble was also fear. He says, stop fearing, Mary, for you have discovered grace that belongs to God. This would be going backwards. She was already a believer. She understood the grace of God. So God, as he looked to narrowing it down, Galilee, all the way down to Nazareth to Mary. Mary had already learned about God's grace, that this grace that belongs to God. And verse 31, "Behold," the angel says, "you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus." So Mary was already a believer. This is, you know, when we start talking about spiritual things, it's easy to get caught up in what we call Romish theology and put Mary in a different category than the Scripture does. Mary was a virgin. She was engaged to be married. And she was also a believer who had discovered God's grace. The third thing that I want us to see is that if it's a bad thing not to believe in God's word, like Zacharias and Mary, it's a good thing to be a believer. Our faith here really needs to rest in Jesus. Let's look at verses 30, 32, and 33. 32. This one, that is Jesus, will be great. It's a couple of things that he's going to list out here. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High God. He'll be called, meaning he will be the Son of the Most High. So two of these things are back, looking past. He'll be, from our vantage point, he'll be great and he'll be the Son of the Most High. Father number one will be God. His Father will be God. He will be the Son of God, Son of the Most High. Continuing on in verse 32. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of David, his father. So he will rule from David's throne. This is father number two. His father is David. Interestingly, that as you go through this, Joseph is said to be of the lineage of David. And Mary, as the angel talks to her about her son, he will be the son of David. All right, now the lineage of Christ, you trace it two different directions. It goes through two different lines, both of which go back to David the king. Joseph's line was in a cursed line, the line of Jeconiah, and was cursed that no descendant of Jeconiah would ever sit on the throne of David. So if Joseph had been the father of Christ, he would not be qualified to be the Messiah. He couldn't sit on the throne of David. However, Mary's line goes back to David and bypasses the curse of Jeconiah. So you have two fathers, God the Father and David his father, through the lineage of Mary. You have questions about that, we may actually get into the genealogy of Luke, and I'll trace that out for you. Okay? So he's going to rule from David's throne, his earthly father. And there, if you look at the next verse, there's going to be, he's going to rule over one nation, verse 30, 33. And he will rule over the house of Jacob forever unto the ages. So Jacob, interestingly, he makes it very clear that it's not going to be just the tribe of Judah, David's tribe, but it'll be the whole house of Israel. To be a Jew, you have to be in the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You have to be in all three of those. And from Jacob came the 12 tribes of Israel. So when he says he's going to rule over the house of Jacob, he means that he's going to rule over one nation, that is the nation of Israel. It's actually going to be a global kingdom. And you can see a hint at that in the last statement. And his kingdom, of his kingdom, there will not be an end. Now, in the millennial reign of Christ, you see this kingdom going from the thousand-year reign of Christ to the new heavens and new earth. And while there's a hiccup at the end, the rule does not have a cessation. So the one in whom we believe is Jesus Christ. Bad thing to be like Zacharias, good thing to be like Mary. And she got the message, first off, that our faith is in Jesus Christ. Two of the things from our vantage point are past, Son of the Most High, and the rest are going forward. When he returns a second time, he will rule from the David throne, rule over one nation, and his kingdom will be without end. All right, so the next question that comes up is the how question. So if you don't want to be like Zacharias, where you don't believe, but you want to be like Mary, who's a believer, and our faith is in Jesus, Mary had questions as well. But her question is a how question. So my point is, how questions are fine. How questions are great. It's not an issue of unbelief. It's a question of, okay, I believe. How's this going to work out? Okay, let's look at verse 34. And Mary said to the angel, how will this be, since I don't know a man? Okay, I'm going to have a baby. I'm going to conceive a child. Call his name Jesus. And all these things are great. But I'm a virgin. And I don't have a husband. So there's something missing here. How is this going to take place? Right? Very legitimate question. Wouldn't you want to know that? If you were Mary, I would. So how is this going to happen? She says. And the mechanics are actually explained here if you look at verse 35. And the angel, having answered, said to her, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will come upon you. And it's a double preposition here. There's a preposition including in the verse, in the verb, and then there's a prepositional phrase. And what's emphasized that whatever takes place here is holy. In all of your mythology, the absolute opposite takes place. Whenever you have fallen angels involved with human women, it's evil. But this is the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, will come over her. And it's a double, almost like it's going to be enveloping her. And the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will cast a shadow over you. Acts 5:15 is a good secular use of that, of the term here, where they were hoping his shadow would fall upon him. So we're not talking about a normal exchange in a human sense, but simply the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, would come upon her. This would be the result of the Spirit, and a shadow would be cast over her. So somehow the Holy Spirit is going to envelop her, and the conception will take place at the work of the Holy Spirit. Wherefore, in other words, because of these words, the immediate words which I've just told you about the Holy Spirit coming upon you and casting this shadow over you, because of this, the child being born will be called holy. So he's going to be called the Son of the Most High God, but he's going to be called the Holy Son of God. This is all done by the Holy Spirit. And behold, Elizabeth, verse 36, is the proof. So Mary says, how? She's not doubting. She just wants to know how this is going to happen. And the angel gives her the explanation that the Holy Spirit is going to cause the conception to take place. Okay? So that the result is that your child will be the Holy Son of God. His Father will be God, and He will be holy. The one being born to you will be the Holy Son of God. And Mary didn't ask for a proof, but guess what? Since she believed, God gives her a proof. What's the proof? Behold, Elizabeth, the relative of your same family, she also has conceived a son in her old age. And this is month number 6. You want proof? She didn't ask for proof. I'll give you proof. This is what God's going to do. And proof is that your relative in her old age has conceived, and she's 6 months pregnant with... That is, this woman who's 6 months pregnant, this is the one who has been called barren because not will be impossible with God. Really cool. Verse 37, the way he states this, he says, and the reason all these things are taking place, that is, you're going to conceive by the Holy Spirit and give birth to the Holy Son of God, and Elizabeth is in her 6th month, is because impossibilities aren't in God's vocabulary. Because not, there's nothing impossible with God. Every word is going to be completely fulfilled. And Mary said, behold, I'm the female bondslave. Cool term she uses here. I'm I think your text says, the handmaiden of the Lord. I don't know what a handmaiden is, but this is a female slave. That's the word that she uses. She says, fine, Gabriel. My response is, may it be so, just as you've said to me. So she was already a believer and understood God's grace. The angel comes with a troubling message, and she stands there and says to him, all right, if that's what you wish, if make it happen. May it be so. It's an optative term. I'm happy with this. Behold, I am your servant. I'm the female slave of the Lord. Make it just as your word. And the angel left from her and went back to the face of God. So, how questions are great, and he gave her a proof anyway. Zechariah, he wanted a proof, and what he got, he didn't want. Mary was already a believer, and when she heard the message, she believed. My sermon title this morning, Not Impossible, is for us. We need to keep the faith. And this year that's coming, what are we going to be trusting the Lord to do? In this category, you look in this context, man, you talk about impossibilities. Zacharias' wife, Elizabeth, barren, old Mary, a virgin, and yet impossibility is not in God. And I think when we look at our own lives and we look at our life as a church, this is a good word for us. In 2008, we were worried as a church about the well-being of the school. Okay? The economy was in the tanker. Our enrollment was half of what it had been the year before. I mean, we went from 60s way down into the 30s. And, you know, I looked at all these numbers and decided I was going to open Circuit Rider Projects because I thought, well, you know, I'm better going to have to go clean off my carpentry tools to continue being able to serve Christ here. So I opened up a company in 2009 and God blessed all kinds of things. But who would have sat then and said, in 2013, you won't have room for students in your upper school? Who would have begun to even anticipate the blessing of God upon the school ministry. So you know the problem I face Monday night? I don't have room for the people. We can get every chair we have, including the orange ones, and they're still going to be standing in the foyer. We have students from around the world. Last year, you saw the budget, you saw the report in February, we had a swing of $70,000 in the black as a ministry. Isn't that incredible? Is that impossible? Not with God. It's not impossible with God. Listen to me. It is not impossible for God to fill this church with people who love and understand the gospel and are committed to planting and establishing churches around the world. It is not impossible, not even in North America. It is possible that through Bethany Bible Church, people will come and understand the gospel of grace. It's not being preached. The free gift of God apart from works. And yeah, people come and they say, oh man, I can't believe that. That's too good. And so they go someplace where they can have works added in so they feel good about their dedication. Mary understood God's grace. You understand God's grace. It's not impossible that in 5 years from now, we'll have to buy more blue chairs. Not because these are worn out, but because we need more chairs. So let's not lose sight of the central message of Christmas, which is Jesus Christ, the Holy Son of God, the highest ruler of all, belongs to us by faith. Our Father, we thank you for this message. Thank you for this passage. Help us to keep the faith. What a wonderful way to greet each other and to say goodbye. May we keep the faith because it's absolutely true. In Jesus' name, amen.